Let's get corrupted. What is going on, everybody? It's your boy Joe with Meteoric Serpents coming back at you for another episode of the Colubrid Corruption Podcast. Guys, another week, another episode. Good to be back as always. This is episode number 44 of Colubrid Corruption. I hope you guys are excited. We're trying something new tonight. I'm going to get through the intro. We'll like steam through everything and we'll kind of introduce with, you know, this is all about and what I want to do with this. But yeah, guys, as usual, I do have Meteoric Serpents t-shirts as well as the Colubrid Corruption shirts available. Something new is coming out with those soon. I can't talk to you guys about it now, but I am working with someone to get merch a little more accessible to you guys, if that makes any sense. But it'll make more sense when I reveal it. But yeah, so I do have those on hand, though. So if you're interested, send me a message. Guys, also make sure you hit like and subscribe on today's podcast. You know, the likes, the subscriptions, it always helps out. The subscribe button is free. Set the notification bell. You already know every Sunday, 7:30 p.m. EST, we're in here bringing you content every week. And if you're listening on here, some people may like, you could also listen to us on all the major audio podcasting platforms like Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on there, make sure you give it a 5-star review and leave a review if you want. And then come back on here on YouTube and hit that subscribe button. That would be great. Just try to spread the word, show the love, and help get that algorithm up to get this out to more people. Yeah, guys. And then right down here below, you could see, basically, I'm on all social media platforms, pretty much at Meteoric Serpents everywhere. And yeah, find me on Instagram, Facebook, you know, YouTube. Yeah, all that good stuff. Let's see. And then make sure you guys support USARC, USARC Florida. Those are the organizations that fight for our rights to keep our reptiles, whether it's as pets, as businesses. You know, they're the ones fighting against legislation that's going to take away our rights. And we obviously don't want that. You know, there's restrictions in places for different species and stuff like that. And we really want to limit any further banning of species in any place in the U.S. So, yeah. Guys, also, if, and this is going to tie in later, if you want to support this show more than just watching, I always forget to mention this. You can leave a super chat if you're in the live, which is like a little YouTube thing. You get a nice little highlight on the screen. I'll pull it up. If you have any special questions, I'll pull that up. That's a way to support me. But honestly, I prefer, if you wanted to do that, you should join the Meteoric Serpent Patreon, which is the first link in the description below. That way you get a little more behind the scenes, special group chat, access to me, and our guest is actually part of that Patreon, and we're going to talk about that in just a couple minutes. But yeah, it's super cool group of guys that are really into colubrids and other species as well. We talk about just about everything. But yeah, so if you want to support me more, consider joining that. That's awesome. Also, guys, tonight's show, as always, is sponsored by Show Me Reptiles and the Show Me Marketplace. You know, Show Me Reptiles, they put on Colubrid Fest for us. So they are supporting the Colubrid community heavily, and we should support those who support our community. So Show Me Reptiles, they throw shows all across the U.S. It's really great. You could go attend a show just about everywhere. You could go vend the show. So if you're in an area where they're coming to the show, go check out their website, see their list of upcoming shows and see if it's something you want to get out to. And yeah, and then they also on their website, which is in the description, by the way, Show Me Marketplace is a new way to buy and sell reptiles. I like the interface. It's cool. You could post your reptiles on there. Very cheap, membership fees. And yeah, just another way to buy and sell your reptiles. So go check that out. And then before we get into it, we have our hashtag Colubrid Corruption of the Week. And I saw this one when I was skimming around the hashtag. There we go. We got a bull snake from East Valley Exotics. I'm not sure what morph this is. It looks like some type of albino, maybe a snow. I don't know. It's not in the hashtags either. It's some type of bull snake. But yeah, really cool animal. Thanks for sharing. And yeah. Guys, so tonight's guest is one of the Meteoric Serpents Patreon members, which is why, you know, I was saying we're going to talk about that. His name is Phil from Wellington Exotics. We've become very close over the last few months. We talk all the time. I met him at Colubrid Fest, which was a super cool experience. Like I've said a billion times, I think everyone should try to get out there next year. But Phil's a really cool dude. And the whole point of this segment, if you saw, I posted it on Instagram, the newly corrupted, really what I want to do with this is give a little spotlight to people who are newer into the hobby and people who I really think have the potential to do some great things going forward in the future. They're building up a nice collection, nice little social media following. And obviously, like I said, I've met Phil. I've talked to him extensively, so I know him decently. But yeah, just wanted to have this conversation with him, bring him on, give him a little more light. His social media link is down in the description. It's at Wellington Exotics on Instagram. So go check him out. Go give him a follow for sure. And yeah, but without further ado, let's bring him out here and welcome Phil to the show. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up? Thanks for having me.
Of course. Yeah, man. So like I was saying, I mean, we met at Colubrid Fest. You joined the Patreon a little bit before that. But yeah, I mean, as we get into this, kind of want to do the same old intro I do for everyone. But like, where did reptiles all start for you? How'd you get into it? And where'd that kind of bring you to where you are today?
So when I was a kid, I definitely was always catching garter snakes. Like, I feel like that's everyone. I feel like everyone does that, but that was definitely me. And then when I was in grad school and COVID happened, we got that like that pandemic money. So I bought a ball python. Right now I still have that ball python. I will be moving her on, but it kind of definitely got the ball rolling. Like, it definitely got the ball rolling. Cause like one turned into five, turned into 41.
That's how it, that's how it usually goes.
Yeah.
Nice, man. Cool. So it started with a ball python, but like even prior to that, were you doing research on snakes? Were you seeing stuff on YouTube or social media, or like where did the inspiration, like I know people got handed cash during COVID and a lot of people got into the reptiles, but like, what did you see that made you say, oh, I'm gonna get a ball python, or I'm gonna get a snake for the first time?
So I have this one friend from high school, and whenever we would hang out, sometimes we'd watch like Brian Barczyk or like nerd videos on YouTube, and like that definitely like pointed me in that direction. And then when I was a kid, I was always watching Steve Irwin too.
Okay.
So just kind of very, very prevalent in the background when I was a child, and then also kind of a younger adult.
Nice. Okay. Cool. And then getting into the spirit of your collection. So where did, like, keeping Colubrid start, and when did that start coming into the picture and really starting to learn about other species that were out there and stuff like that?
So I think it was 2022. I was with that same friend and we wanted to go to a local reptile show, like South Shore, Massachusetts. And I didn't really know what I was looking for, but this one guy who is local, I think it's Rustic Mountain Reptiles, he had a bunch of beauty snakes. Okay. And I was like, whoa, these are crazy. First of all, they were pretty reasonably priced. I was like, I just got out of grad school, so not super affluent. They looked super cool. So I bought a Taiwanese beauty snake. I still have him now, obviously.
Nice.
But I think that was the first colubrid I got, and then I got a garter snake, and then another Taiwanese beauty snake from PJ, and then it just kind of kept going from there.
Okay, cool. And then what was it that first Taiwan beauty that really like sparked your interest in colubrids?
Yeah, because I don't know, my buddy, that kid that I was telling you about, he's still like, I don't know, he has ball pythons. He's a ball python guy. I get that.
Right.
Like, I understand that, but just not something that we expected to, or that I expected to take home.
Okay. Yeah, and as you were getting into it, 'cause I am curious what people like do nowadays. What was your source of like research or looking things up, or like content you were watching, like what helped you kind of learn along the way, along with, just general keeping experience?
A little bit of everything. I try to look for like commonalities among multiple sources if I can find them. So like, yes, obviously you're gonna look on the internet, but there's just like so much BS on the internet.
Yeah.
So like, I try to use. I bought the Asian Rat Snake book shortly after I bought like the one with Dr. Messenger.
Okay, yeah.
So I bought that shortly after picking up my first Taiwanese beauty. Not that they're particularly challenging to care for.
Right.
Right, but that really helped. And the guy who sold them to me was like, he kind of talked my ear off for like most of the show, so he
Cool.
definitely told me what I needed to know for the time being.
Okay. Yeah, and honestly what you said is a great kind of piece there, and I feel like that's something that's missing among a lot of today's generation of new keepers, especially people that are closer to our age, like literature. It's super huge, it's super important. The amount of information you could get from some of these books that have been written over the years, as well as and I haven't dove into many, but even like scientific journals, stuff that you could find about these species. It's kind of an underrated source of information, because I agree with you. A lot of what's online, you try to find like these care sheets online, and really, if you look at it, a lot of it is kind of BS. Or there are multiple ways to do kind of the same thing, but I feel like a straight care sheet is not always the best solution to figuring a species out, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I like I just feel like, I don't know, it's really valid with a book. Like, a book is super valid. Like, the information you're gonna get from that book by Dr. Messenger is concrete. You know what I mean? It kind of describes everything in very good detail. With a care sheet, it's super, super rigid.
Yeah.
Whereas like that's just like not how things are. So
Yeah, and it lets you learn about the books about like natural history, the type
Everything.
of environment, and all that good
Geography.
stuff. Yeah, exactly. The one books you shouldn't pick up, people, don't look at an $8 Amazon book that is clearly AI generated and buy
Yeah,
that,
those are
because
out there for
those are out
sure.
there.
Yeah.
Nisarg, if you're watching this, he posted, it was a really funny one. It was like, oh, it was one that he found. It looked like it was Amazon, and I don't know if he was the one that found it, but it said like something like about a yellow anaconda, and it was, I think it was an albino ball python. But like the cover, like the pic, the text, it was like anaconda or something, and then the picture is just a albino ball, and I was like, Jesus Christ. I've seen screenshots of other ones too. Yeah.
That's hilarious. They're just like searching for keywords and kind of putting whatever they can. Yeah.
pretty much. Yeah. Okay, cool. Now, when it comes to colubrids, let's talk about what, you know, some of the species that you've gotten into. I want to hear, please elaborate about your, collection right now when it comes to colubrids, at least.
Okay, so I've got the Paratywinese beauties. I have the blue-faced Oregon red-spotted garter snake. I've got the Nerodi I got from Chris Montross. I've got the black-tail crebo, and I've got the false water cobra from Zach.
Nice. And the hognose.
Oh, yeah, the hognose, too. Yeah, good call, Jeff. Thanks.
Yeah. I remember your pickups, at least.
I lost track of that.
I witnessed those in person.
Yeah, they're right over there.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So just about those species, because that's kind of, I would say it's an eclectic group. It's not like they're not consistent, like geographically. It's interesting. But I'm curious, what made you choose those species specifically? And I know you got great setups over there, and we could talk about husbandry as well, but like what made you decide on those kind of species that you wanted to work with?
All right. Well, first and foremost, the care requirements for most of that stuff is super overlapping. The garter snake, the beauty snakes, like those things are pretty bulletproof. Hognose snakes, you know, really not that hard. The crebo, hardly, like the heat panel is hardly ever on, if ever, you know what I mean? So it kind of just, those species flow with my room super well, just based off what other stuff I've got going on. So it just works in terms of temperature parameters. And then, I mean, also I just think all this stuff looks cool as hell. I kind of just like, oh, that looks cool. I want that, you know. Ooh, piece of candy. Yeah.
Nice. Cool. Let's see. And then, just in general, as opposed to, you know, other species that might be like tempting out there, because it seems like you have continuously expanded your colubrid collection, but what is making you prioritize colubrids against like potentially other species? Because you do work with some other stuff, and we'll talk about those, but
I definitely like the variety. I definitely think I learned a lot just in terms of husbandry. Like, I think the biggest thing that I learned was just like, there's no need for excessive heat. Colubrids really taught me that. And that really works kind of with the flow of my room. So I think that was, you know, just like a big thing that I picked up kind of deciding what direction I wanted the room to go in, temperature wise. Just like, and kind of what works too, you know, cause there's obviously there's fluctuations, and I have several govies, so I kind of track everything throughout the year. I have a general idea what my lows and highs are throughout the year, and just kind of what would and what wouldn't work well in here. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. And you do have that room. That room is totally dedicated to the snakes there?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And you're able to control temperature in that room by itself?
I got a mini split, so it's like a bedroom off the kitchen where I live. So like, okay. there's a mini split in the kitchen above the door. So I just kind of leave the snake room door open or closed in the summer, and then in the winter I have a space heater if I need it. But most of the time with the heat panels, like, and just like the heating in the house, I don't need, unless it's real cold.
Gotcha. Okay. And you're in Mass, so it can definitely get cold.
It gets chilly. It gets chilly for sure. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know all about the Northeast. It definitely gets cold.
Yep. It's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's talk about some of your husbandry a little bit, because for anyone that can look at your Instagram, and again, guys, make sure you go follow him at Wellington Exotics on Instagram. They'll see you have some nice, impressive sized caging for some stuff. I know you keep some stuff in racks as well, but what has, what have you done with your room? Like, if you want to kind of give a layout, what animals are in what, how you kind of went about that.
I can turn the laptop around. So I've got over here the Crevo's up top with the shelf and he's in the boxes. He's up here somewhere.
Gotcha.
And then this is where the false water cobra is, somewhere in here too. These are 6x2x2s, and like I put that shelf in and stuff, and like mounted those boxes. And this is all just like Home Depot stuff, plastic, paper, like, you know, suits the needs of the animal, but they love it. And then I got more animal plastic stuff and more paper, and then I love the pipes on the walls.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
I think those are super useful. Super easy to clean because the boas always poop in them. And
now, how do you have those mounted? Because I can't quite tell. Is it attached to the front glass or like?
So I actually went to Home Depot. I got some pretty large, I don't know if you can see, but pretty large iodized like nuts, basically. Okay. Nuts and screws, and just drilled holes through the PVC and did some measurements, drilled through the side of the enclosure, and just like really, really tightened it. And then I filled some cracks in with JB Weld, tested it and everything. But that's, I like over engineered it so that like there's just no way those are getting broken.
Right, so they can kind of go in there from all three angles and just kind of sit in there comfy if they want to.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's nice. I like that. That's
cool. They love it. And it's super like I can blast it with isopropyl, you know. Doesn't mold, doesn't anything. PVC is like awesome. You go to the plumbing section at Home Depot, it's like better than the pet store, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Nice. And then even like with your general setups, like, you know, some people go the naturalistic route and you know, it's cool. Some people can make some really nice setups, even the
bioactive stuff. I have one of those too. I have a couple of those too. You know, my garter snake, okay. I have like that because, you know, she just, I think it looks super cool. I got some of those David Brahms perches.
Okay.
I don't know if that's
nice. Like,
visible, but I got the PVC mounted as well, and she's in there in the corner doing something, but she, like, honestly, she perches on those just like a chondro would, and it's super cool to watch.
Nice.
But what I was
gonna say is that even with your more simplistic setups where it looks like there's just a bunch of a bunch of tubs inside the enclosure, like, I'm sure those snakes are using those. In fact, you've sent pictures of your snakes using those like pretty readily.
They're constantly in and out of them. It's like, it's just like checking boxes off. You know what I mean? They don't care.
Yeah.
What it is, as long as they can, you know, they can kind of noodle around and feel safe, you know?
Yeah. And that's kind of the message I want to give to the listeners is that, like, you don't have to go, absolutely you can, but you don't have to go all out. You could do things simply without making it too complicated and still fill the needs of.
Keep it simple, nice and simple, you know, keep it super clean. That's my thing, is like, I like being super clean. Everything is super clean. Like 90% of stuff here, like my frogs, like my invertebrates, obviously I have a couple things on substrate, a couple snakes on substrate, but most of the stuff is on paper because it's just the cleanest stuff. Nice and simple. It's clean. I see everything. If there's something that I need to clean, I can just see it and clean it. Like, yes, it's potentially more work, but it's clean.
Cool. And, you know, still, you know, because you're newer to the hobby, what are some, have there been any, like, quote unquote, mistakes that you made, or maybe any regrets that you've had so far in your journey that you're like, newer people should stay away from this, or just something that you maybe learned from?
I don't know. I definitely think I bought a little bit of everything until I found a direction, which, like, I feel like that's pretty common. So yeah, that's like, that's kind of the only thing, I guess. I haven't had anything too wild happen just yet, you know, knock on wood, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you had some success with your blood pythons breeding this year. Got your first clutch, and I'm sure that's exciting. It's obviously not colubrid related, but something we should still talk about, something of note.
Yeah, that was a blast. It showed that I could read and follow directions very well. I was guided through the process, you know, pretty readily.
Okay.
By a mentor, and but yeah, it was a ton of fun, and I definitely think I can replicate it in the future. So it's, you know, it was good proof of concept, you know.
Nice. Yeah, and the bloods are something you want to stick with, right?
Yeah, that's the direction I'm definitely going to go in terms of, like, non-colubrid projects. Definitely going to get rid of the ball pythons. Not get rid of, but I'm going to rehome them. Give most of them away to a couple friends, actually. And then I definitely want to go, like, the short tail. So definitely bloods. I have some Sumatrans, which, those are something else. Yeah. And then potentially maybe I'll grab some Borneos, like, if something catches my eye, but, like, I their genetics are not well understood, so I would have to, like, I don't know, I would have to do some thinking and maybe some research as to what pairing I would consider. I don't know, I like the granite stuff and the marble stuff, but I don't know, I haven't put too much thought into Borneos.
Gotcha. And do people, like, cross those, or are people good about keeping them separate?
Controversial, Joe. Controversial.
Well, I'm just asking. You know me. I'm not.
It is frowned upon. Yeah. In the short tail community to do so.
Okay. Yeah.
I personally wouldn't do it. That's what I'll tell you. I'd get in big doo doo if I did that.
No, I was just purely curious. Yeah, that's interesting. All right, cool. And then, let's see. Now, when it comes to, so you mentioned at first you did a bit of research with, like, the books. Obviously, you listened to this show. I know you went, you listened to CCR, but, like, what else out there do you go to, or do you potentially rely on for information, if any, like, colubrid wise? Like, if you wanted to deep dive on a species, how would you go about that?
Honestly, it depends where I'd be buying it. Like, so when I got my Crebo, I was just talking to the guy, like, who gave it, you know, sold it to me. And I was like, listen, how are you doing this? You know, I'm definitely interested in this because, you know, super cool looking snake. It's huge. You know, I would love one. And he's like, oh, you know, super easy. And just talking to whoever you're getting whatever you're getting from, as vague as that sounds, just like having a conversation. That's how I learned a lot of the basics for the Taiwanese beauties. Again, not that they're overly complicated, not that the Crebo is overly complicated. You know, a lot of this stuff is pretty point and shoot, but, you know, at the same time, a lot of stuff is pretty point and shoot. And sometimes, you know, overthinking stuff kind of, you know, isn't the best.
Right. Yeah. And even what you're saying right there is something that I think is important. And you know, I've talked about this. I might be doing a talk about it at Colubrid Fest next year, but like when people are getting into it, I think people are scared to ask questions of other breeders. And sure, there are some people who don't want to give you the time of day, but if you are able to find the right person that is willing to, whether it's sit down with you or you know, text it or even have a phone call and explain things to you, I think that's something that's super important as a new keeper, and to try to find those sources is very good to like fostering your desires for that species or for more, and learning off people, you know?
Yeah. And then also like as the, you know, as the potential informer, like it just makes good business sense to be, you know, kind and you know, have no, you know, no gatekeeping towards the newer people, you know what I mean? Because that's, you know, it's a potential customer right there if they like your stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And do you have any specific mentors that have, you know, helped you a lot? I know you mentioned like stuff with the blood pythons, but even otherwise, but
so Kara at the Blood Cell, she walked me through just like pairing, incubation, hatching, even getting the tricky little bastards eating, like that stuff. So, you know, Kara definitely, for sure, she shared a lot of information with me, and was very, very direct about it. So like I could ask whatever question and she would just wouldn't probably will still just answer.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. And I'm curious, because I did want to talk about this with you. So you did attend Colubrid Fest. I said that earlier.
I did. It was a good time.
Yeah, you and I were both there. So I kind of want to get your take on what that was like as someone, again, who is a bit newer to the hobby, and being able to go to an event that like that, that wasn't just, you know, a reptile show. It was also an educational experience. I kind of want to hear your entire take on the weekend and what you really got out of it.
All right. Well, I probably wouldn't go to Indiana otherwise. I'll say that. but it was a blast. I think the talks were great. I think that was on the Saturday.
Yeah.
I definitely learned a lot. I really liked the talk on dystocia on the egg binding. I thought that was fascinating, especially with all the anatomy and physiology that, I forget the vet's name, but the vet was explaining.
Dr. Whitman.
Yeah, that was fascinating. He was very, very knowledgeable. I also really enjoyed the picky feeders, or I guess I really value the picky feeders, talk as well, just because, you know, I bought a pair of hognose at Colubrid Fest. Not that they've been picky at all. They've actually been insane eaters. But it's good. It's good, you know, information to have should that arise, you know, at some other time, potentially with some other species or even with that pair, right. You know what I mean?
With the hogs, from what I've heard from others, it's like once you get them started, it's a matter of getting them started. It's the hatchlings that are pinky. That are picky, but like once you get them like pinky, really going, they're just savages from what I've
heard. No, mine are rolling now. So it's like, it's a blast. I just kind of like throw the pinky in there and close the thing. They'll just take care of it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I interrupted you a bit. You can keep going.
Oh, and then the show is crazy. Like, I don't know. My favorite part was, like, yeah, obviously I bought some snakes, but like seeing the Teus carinata from, I think it was Paul's Cool Snakes or Paul's Cool Scales.
Yeah.
And then some of like the Boygus Cynodont, just like some of the big mean colubrids, I guess. I don't know. Seeing some of those up close was so cool. Like just some of the carinata were longer than I was tall by like a pretty significant margin. And it was just like very impressive to see. And then of course, like, you know, seeing all the other stuff, I really liked the Zirkles had some crazy stuff, some stuff that I hadn't seen before. All the persimmon stuff, I had never seen a persimmon before. So that was super cool.
Yeah. Just overall, you know, I can't say it enough. I said it a million times, but like, it was just an experience that you very literally could not get anywhere else at any other show in the country. It just won't happen. Gluebert Fest is one of a kind. So again, I'll keep stressing it. Once the 2025 flyer comes out, I'm going to be promoting it every week, because everyone who watches this show, like, I genuinely mean this when I say this, I want to see everyone there. And you won't regret it, especially not next year, because I think between the vendors, the venue, all of that, I think it's just going to keep growing. So I think it's going to be incredible next year.
Yeah, I think a lot of the kinks will get worked out next year.
Yeah.
So it'll be a lot more streamlined, and there'll just be more of everything. So as soon as the dates drop, I am requesting the time off from work. That is true.
Yep. Yeah. I gotcha. Cool. Now let's see. When it comes to your colubrids, what are some of your breeding aspirations there, and what you're like what you're keeping currently, and maybe some other potential species down the road?
So I definitely want to produce the Taiwanese beauties. That's first and foremost. That'll probably be soonest, just based on age.
Like, I was gonna say yours are a good size. That should be soon, right?
That's probably a couple years away. It's probably like 2 or 3 years away. You know what I mean? My male's pretty big. He's like, I don't know. He's definitely big. Definitely.
All right, because you got your male first, right?
Yeah. Okay. So the female still needs, like, I would say probably 3 years. So I definitely would love to give garter snakes a go. I just gotta find. I gotta get some blue phase, because my garter snake's blue. So I don't want the red spotted ones. I want the blue red spotted garter snakes. I gotta get like two males, so I have like a, you know, 2.1. I gotta figure that out at some point. I will not be reproducing false water cobras. I think they're badass. I have one because I think they're badass. It's from Dr. Loafman.
Okay.
He's super cool. He won't be going anywhere ever. Super intelligent. Crebo, I could see myself producing one day, maybe. I have also considered getting rid of one of, or rehoming one of my boas
to
free up some cage space for another Dreadmarcon, but, you know, that's a significant investment, and I'd have to consider it. Like, what would that look like incubation wise? You know, I'd have to get some information on that before I made a step in that direction, but definitely something that I could consider, because, I mean, Crebos are so cool. You know, everyone needs Crebos. Like, they're the coolest. So they just, you know, they're just big and poop a lot, but they're the coolest.
Yeah. No, they're definitely cool. You know, a couple of my local buddies have been getting into them, and they're both ball python guys who have gotten into, you know, the Crebos, both black tails and yellow tails. And
yeah, they're the coolest. I don't have yellow tails, but one day when I'm, you know, when I'm a big boy, I'll get some.
Gotcha. Cool, man. Yeah, and then you got some of the Nerodia from Chris, former guest of the show, and those hogs. So I'm sure once those grow up, you know, it's like checking them off the list. You get a pair. You're like me. I mean, I have to get a pair, because it's like,
it's bad, Joe.
gotta try to breed them eventually, right?
So the cool thing about the Nerodias, and like, I was kind of like really shocked, is Chris was like, oh yeah, just keep them together. Like, what? Like, what do you mean? Yeah, just keep them together. And that's like, I think that's the coolest thing. Like, yeah, they're, you know, they're Their patterns are awesome. They're pretty cute. The feeding response is obviously insane. But they're super easy to care for. I essentially have them on Ambien, basically, in my snake room. Like the bottom level of one of my, my blood racks, you know what I mean? And, they eat and
Nice.
they poop and they shed and they look great and they like interact with each other. It's so cool to watch. So I definitely
Interesting.
want to get them a like a nice cage, like a nice PVC cage or something one day, like when
Okay.
they're large enough, just to kind of see, like watch them do stuff, because they both have different, personalities, and they're very cool. They definitely give me garter snake vibes, which, obviously I enjoy garter snakes as well.
Mike, I'm not sure what you mean by blood rats. Do you care to elaborate? But yeah, no, that's super cool. I definitely the Nerodia you got are really nice. I've always like, not that I sleep on Nerodia, I just don't think they're a species for me. But like, there are certain ones when Chris posts them, I'm like, those are cool. I like they're cool. I just personally wouldn't keep them.
It's, I don't know, they're so easy. Like,
Yeah.
it's just give them some chicken gizzards or, like, I don't know, really whatever. They'll kind of eat whatever.
Yeah, they're good like that.
Yeah, it's really, really simple and really placid. I haven't had any biting, I haven't had any musking, nothing.
Yeah. Let me pull up your Instagram page. We could take a little scroll through what you got going on. All right. Yeah, you got the tarantulas too.
Oh yeah,
Bunch
I
of
got a couple of
arachnids.
those. Those are way too fun.
There's Taiwan beauty.
That's the male. He's bigger now
Yeah.
too. He's in shed now too, or he's about to be in shed. He's really getting dull, so he's gonna grow even more.
Nice. Yeah, I mean it's a beautiful snake. The beauty snakes, it's funny. They have like similarities, but like you could all kind of tell them apart, especially at their larger size once
Oh yeah.
the
Yeah, they
adult
stick
colors
out like a
start
sore
coming.
thumb. Yeah, I totally agree.
There's the
They
whole
are.
blood clutch, which I know you have them available on Morph Market. So if anyone's looking for a new blood python, you should definitely go check them out. But yeah, super cool, man.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. Cool colors.
Yeah. Let's see. And then we have here's the blacktail.
Yeah, he's even bigger now too. He's probably pushing 7 feet. Like he's
Nice.
like can put his head on one side of the enclosure and his tail's on the other, no problem. And there's like definitely a little slack to give too. And he's
Yeah, they're
super
cool. They're
placid.
just, yeah, they just turn into big tanks when they're older too. Like they go from the little tiny snake to like that's like
He's big.
you
He's
know,
about
it's
as
kind of
big as
like,
a soda can.
yeah, it's kind of like how king rats get. They go from like
Yeah.
the little noodle to the big like beefy
Big noodle.
ass
Yeah, a
snake.
big pool noodle. Yeah. No, absolutely.
There's that garter of yours.
Yeah, she's awesome. Just like.
Yeah, that's a super cool animal. Oh yeah, and the falsie.
Yeah, he's way bigger now too. He's probably like 4 feet maybe.
Nice.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's super cool, man. And did you delete posts? Where are the hogs and or
Oh, they
has it
might
been
be
your
in
story
my
that you're posting
highlights.
on?
Yeah, it's
Oh, okay.
probably my story. Yeah, right there, my highlights. Yeah.
Is this gonna show the right way? I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are cool. Don't let me.
That's the female, and she's like, she's got some cool contrast, and the male is like essentially orange.
Yeah.
So he's super cool. He's really skittish. And the female is much more placid, I think, just because she's larger.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I give him a pinky, and it's like they're like real full, real full from gotcha. One pinky. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Then you got these guys. Who'd you get? Who'd you wind up getting the hogs from?
Dude, Zach's student had a really good deal for the pair.
Oh, really?
And yeah, my girlfriend and I were talking to him. And
nice.
Yeah, I definitely think they're interesting. They're very interesting. Their mannerisms, just kind of the way the hognose are. It's they're interesting for sure.
Yeah,
I've never kept a nice. Snake like that before.
Yeah, they're interesting, especially as like a colubrid. They're like a weird little species
that doesn't weird.
Quite yeah. fit in with everything else.
But they flow in the room, so it's cool. You know what I mean?
That's
the best part. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're super cool. Every time I get to check out Alvaro's animal, Alvaro from Clover's Reptiles, I'm just like, he's got some real nice ones. So I get to see some cool stuff.
Yeah, they're out of control. They're bonkers. There's so many ways you can go with hognose. You know, I just have some, you know, a het and an albino posset sable, but
okay,
it's cool. You know, it's somewhere to start, and it's it's kind of like, I don't know, my girlfriend really enjoys them too, so just kind of see where it goes.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome, man. Let's see. Okay, so this is, again, you coming in, like, you're a little bit newer. You get to see people on Instagram and stuff. If you had to pick one bigger breeder whose collection, like, you really look up to, that you get to see, whoever it may be, who's that person for you? Who's that breeder?
Like what, that I just get to go check out their collection?
No, not even. I'm just saying, like, if you had to, like, one person whose collection where, like, you're just scrolling through on social media and you're like, damn, like, they just have some amazing animals. Like who's your top dog in that regard?
Okay, so anytime, like, Cold-Blooded Earth, or okay. Kara posts like blood pythons, like all lowercase blood pythons, like,
yeah,
it's jet fuel. Like, it's just absolute gasoline. Like,
nice.
I would say nine times out of ten, it's just some absolutely crazy blood python. So that's when I always be like, oh shit, like, gotta appreciate that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Nice. I'm going to put you on the spot with this one.
Okay.
Why should people join the Meteoric Serpents Patreon?
So you don't have to just talk about colubrids. Like, you can send other pictures in there. Talk about any kind of snakes. I'm pretty sure I've even mentioned spiders in there once. So
yeah.
it's just like a good spot. Like, it's not solely colubrid centric. Yeah,
and that wasn't even the goal of it. It's really just community building, and we talk about a whole bunch of things, because no one in there, I don't think there's a single person in there that keeps colubrids only, at least not to my knowledge. Maybe Adam. But
maybe Adam. I was going to say, I think Adam has colubrids.
But that, yeah, either way.
Yeah. It doesn't count.
Yeah, it's just a super cool group of people. We get to hang out. And yeah, I mean, and that's also why you're on the show today. You get that perk.
Oh, that's also true. Yeah.
You were the first selection for the newly corrupted. Yep.
Right. Yeah, no. I'll play ball.
Yeah. Adam has a crusty gecko. That does count. Oh,
okay. There you go. You're good. There you go, Adam. Nice.
You're good. Nice. All right. Cool, man. Now when it comes to the colubrids, what's a species that you see that you think would fit well within the collection, you just haven't necessarily jumped on it yet?
I really like the idea of just keeping bamboo rats kind of ambient here. I think I could do that really well. Maybe if I can salvage more cage space, or I don't know. I definitely like the idea of Boicus cyanea, like the green cat-eyed snake, maybe. I don't know the common name, but Boicus cyanea, those are pretty cool. But nothing too crazy. I think if anything, I'm gonna stay in my lane with what I have in terms of colubrids, just so I kind of get a foothold.
Yeah.
But I think right now the closest reach would probably be some sort of bamboo or something. Maybe Japanese rat snake, something like that, something along those lines.
Okay. Nice. And then, let's see. Getting into some of the wrap up topics. So you got into this, a couple years ago when the money was flowing and stuff, and now people are pressed for cash and all this and that, the economy, whatever, the reptile market, whatever. But what is it that keeps you going with reptiles? What has made you not give up, especially like some other people have who got in within the last few years? What's keeping you motivated and going every day?
Well, I didn't do this. I didn't do this from I have a job for money. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I know that sounds wild, but I have a job for money. If I can sell a couple blood pythons to pay for rats and electricity for a couple months, I'm hip.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to get rich here. I think, I've done a good job managing my expectations. Cause it kind of, at the end of the day, it kind of is what you make it. Not looking to, sell snakes and retire selling snakes. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's also it's just a blast to keep keeping, you're always learning something, you don't kind of get that within every hobby.
Yeah. I'm with you there. Never stops. And then let's see. So we're going to take let's say down the line, you're in a bigger space. You're able to keep a little bit more. Do you think the direction of the collection would change at all? Do you think you'd just expand upon the species you're keeping? Or
it'd be more blood pythons. It'd be a lot of blood pythons.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so you're pretty dead set on the bloods.
It would be a lot of bloods. It would be definitely a handful of creepos. And I really like some of the pine snakes I saw at
Kalibra. Okay.
Those were pretty cool. That's the thing, Joe, is a lot of this fun, larger colubrid stuff, it's a lot of cleanup. So you gotta kinda pick and choose what poopos you kinda what direction you kinda go,
Well, you're used to now Kribos and the Falsi, which have very fast metabolisms and that poop a lot.
Well, so here's the thing though. So I've got three 18 quart tubs in each 6x2x2, and there's cat litter in each of those tubs. So lot of times the snakes poop in the cat litter, and it's literally the easiest thing in the world. Yeah, they're low-key litter box trained.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty that's pretty legit. And then you have your Bloods, which like
you, when it happens, you it get, happens.
Yeah, it's like, but they rare. Ship, like what, once a month, once every 3 weeks?
So my big female just went for the first time in 67 days. And it was like this.
Yeah, is it so, like, is it an explosion or are they like just solid?
It's just like well-placed cinder blocks. You know what I mean? That's kind of the best way I could describe it. And you know, you know what's happened before you get in the snake room. You're like, yep, that's it. You know, I can smell it. And doesn't happen often, but when it does.
Yeah. This is what's funny about reptile keeping is for anyone in the chat who's laughing at the fact we're talking about snake shitting is like, this is how interested we are in snakes that we're talking about snake shitting.
Yeah, it's part of the care, man. It's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I would say most of the time I'm cleaning, it's not any of the pythons or the boas rarely go to the bathroom because I don't feed them once a month. You know what I mean? They don't need any food. They're pets. Like, so the boas rarely go to the bathroom, but like the colubrids are much more productive.
Yeah. I mean the ball pythons are definitely, they have faster metabolisms. Mm-hmm. It's not near the colubrids, but like some of them still, it's still like twice a week. Like I'm in here and it's just like, you know, like there's a couple days of the week where it's like I'm in here for a while because it's like everyone went and I'm just like, god damn it, I'm just going tub by tub spot cleaning and stuff. And then, you know, I'll do the big cleans on the weekends and stuff like that. So
no, trust me, I know that vibe. I was in here cleaning before the podcast, you know. I know,
yeah, Justin, I know chondro keepers with their neos, it's like they get excited for poop.
They're all about breaking it down.
They're all about every action that happens with a chondro. But that's the beauty of the game, right? We get to see all these different things and everyone is able to focus on these different things. Chondro people worry about it. Blood python people are just like, whatever, you know?
It happens. Yeah, it'll happen.
Happens every so often.
Yeah, every couple months.
Cool. So in the next 3 to 5 years, we kind of got off track, but in the next like 3 to 5 years, what do you foresee the future of Wellington Exotics becoming?
I definitely like to produce some more stuff. Probably not within the next 2 years. We'll see, but probably not within the next 2 years. I definitely am, you know, shifting directions a little bit, maybe kind of gonna invest in some bigger racks, maybe change some, yes, more spiders. That is the it's always like, it's ever so looming. It's just like, I could just drive down the street and buy some sort of crazy other spider to put under my turtle enclosure. Yeah, I think I got like 20 something right now.
Damn. You can keep them so compact though, right?
Dude, it's bad. They're like not that expensive compared to snakes. Like the husbandry is like, you put some dirt in a box with some cork bark. And the cork bark's either like at an angle or they need, you know, it's not that hard. It's not rocket surgery, you know? And there's so many different behaviors, so many different colors. You know, I don't touch them. You know, I treat them like fish. You know what I mean? But right. I love the Creopagopus genus. I love the Asian arboreal stuff. I'm really having a blast with that so far. So I've got a couple pairs of slings and a couple pairs of spiders, and maybe I'll try my hand at that one day if I can mature some invertebrates too. That would be a blast. Just to see, because, you know, worst case, they just all eat each other. You know what I mean? I don't have to do
it. Right. Anything. That many babies, because some of them, like, they give
you a lot,
right?
Yeah, but not all of them are going to make it. Not all of them are going to make it, though. It's supposed to, you know, like, you're probably going to get, you're going to lose 20% off the bat just because they're going to be born messed up or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been listening to Arachnerds, and I told Justin, I said, hey, look, I'm going to listen to it. You won't catch me keeping a spider, though. It's not going to happen. I genuinely won't, but I listen to it because I like learning. So I enjoy learning about it and hearing about, you know, the spiders and the scorpions and all that good stuff.
The creepy crawlies.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not for me, though. I'm a snake guy through and through. Some geckos here and there.
Yeah, yeah. You'll learn. It's all right. You'll come around.
Maybe. Yeah, so, you know, keep the train. So you want to keep the train rolling with the blood pythons. That's your big thing. Colubrids, I would say more of a side fun project for you.
Yeah, I think for now it's not like the, you know, the complete focus, but it's definitely a large, it's definitely like, I would say maybe, you know, 30-40%, and you know, that'll grow for sure as I acquire more space one day. But I just think right now I'm having a bunch of fun with the short tails, and I really want to kind of expand in terms of my gene pool. And then, you know, maybe once I get more, you know, if I get some ARS racks or something, or I get some more caging with more space, maybe I'll grab some more, you know, some more colubrids and kind of lean a little harder in that direction.
Right. Cool. When it comes to new keepers, if there's any like brand new keepers who happen to listen to this, maybe there are, what would you tell them? What's the best way for them to learn? Is it like, you know, what we talked about? Is it reading books? Is it listening to shows like these and listening to their experience? Is it asking people questions? And I'm kind of laying up these answers to you because I think it's a combination of all of them. But like, what if you had to tell someone what they should do to get themselves started? Like, what would that be?
I think it's a combination of all the stuff you mentioned, but I also think it's important that if possible, if you're newer and you're getting into it, to find like a competent individual who's keeping, and you can kind of mirror your keeping style based off that, you know, and then you can kind of tweak it to see like kind of what works for you. That would be my thought.
Right. Yeah. Is that kind of what you did when you were learning about breeding the blood pythons, right? Because sorry, what was her name? Kara. Kara was teaching you everything. Yeah,
for the most part. I mean, I definitely had basic husbandry down, but in terms of just like temperature cycling, food cycling, I am giving this snake this much food. Like these are extra large rats. She's like, yeah, you just give her the food. She'll okay. Like, all right.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. And then what is your elevator pitch to a new keeper for why colubrids over any other group of snake or reptile?
Ooh. You can really keep super, you don't have to overcomplicate it. You know, you can keep a lot of stuff on ambient. You don't have to feed rodents. Like I feed a lot of chicken gizzards and tilapia because of how cheap it is. Like I have like a Asian market, like less than 2 miles from my apartment. So I will go there and get a lot of organ meats, and it's very, very nutritious. It's much more lean protein, and the colubrids will eat it much more readily than like a python or something. So, you know, you don't really have to break the bank in terms of feeders, and it's a lot of variation in terms of colubrids. So there's a lot of options.
Yeah. Are you feeding that to all the colubrid species?
Depends.
Is there anything that won't take it?
No. The chicken gizzards are like everything. Everything will eat the chicken gizzards. Those are like preferred, I would say, by everything.
Okay. Gotcha. And what's maybe, because this is always interesting. I think more experienced keepers have a lot to learn from newer people as well. And newer people might be scared to say something because they don't realize that like they're right, but it's just their way or their own way of doing something. Is there anything that you've picked up along the way that's different from the norm that you tend to hear about your style of keeping or anything that you maybe want to throw out there to the world?
It's really all about functionality and whatever works. You know what I mean? Making sure whatever kind of works in your room, whatever works in your space, you know, there's definitely commonalities between, you know, how people in general keep a certain species, but, you know, there's significant differences between, you know, where you keep your snakes versus where I keep my snakes. You know what I mean? So you gotta kind of tweak whatever to make sure it works with your space and just kind of, you know, be ready to adapt.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Cool, man. Let's see. Is there anything else you wanted to elaborate on when it comes to your collection or just any final thoughts you want to give?
Just come to Colubrid Fest. That's what I got for you. Yeah. Come to Colubrid Fest. It was a lot of fun and I'm definitely going to be there next year.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah, I say it all the time. Colubrid Fest was a fantastic time. If you don't come, or if you didn't come this past year, you should definitely consider 2025. Whenever they announce that, like, be there. Adam wants to know, do you have any scorpions?
Yeah, I've got a couple of them. I've got a desert hairy scorpion. I've got a big female that's like, she's like probably like this right now. And like, I only see her when she's hungry and she's pretty villainous looking. It's sweet. And then I've got a couple of Asian forest scorpions, which like they're a little tinies right now. They're like this. And I just have them in critter keepers, but you know, scorpions grow so fast and they're such voracious eaters. And right. They're also so, so incredibly easy to keep, and they're slow compared to spiders. Oh, scorpions are a blast, man.
Yeah, and they can't quite, like, climb as well, right?
They're super, as long as you don't get into, like, the, you know, the crazy stuff, like, oh, it's it's refreshing. That's how I would put it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I feel like I would be more open to keeping a scorpion than a spider, genuinely, when it comes to the arachnids or invertebrates.
It might even be easier than spiders. Like spiders, yeah. Tarantulas are very fragile. Like if they were to fall from a certain height, they like just kind of explode.
Okay.
Like scorpions are like armor plated and badass. Like right. They're super cool.
Yeah.
Do it. Yeah.
Justin is like Chancellor Palpatine. Do it.
Yeah. Do it.
All right, man. Well, cool. We had a lot of people in here tonight. A lot of people are here to support you. yeah. No, there's 17 people watching right now, and there are a bunch of people popping in and out. What final message do you have to leave to anyone who maybe is on the fence of getting into colubrids, or anyone who's newer into the hobby? What do you have to say to everyone who's listening right now and may listen later?
Just give it a try. You might find yourself really enjoying it.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Yeah.
That's the way. Colubrids are cool. Once you get hooked, you got to find that species that really like hooks you. Cause I could understand why some may not do it for you, but if you get the right one,
it really changes things. I totally agree.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool, man. Thank you so much for joining tonight. Yeah, I'm going to run the outro. I'll throw you back in the backstage if you want to hang out for a couple minutes and wrap this up.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much.
All right. No problem. Cool, man. All right, guys. What another fun episode of the Colubrid Corruption Podcast. I hope you guys all enjoyed. Let me know what you guys thought about this new segment, The Newly Corrupted. If you guys liked it, if you guys liked the premise of bringing on some newer keepers and getting their opinions about things, I think it's fun. And like I, you know, said there towards the end, I think there's something that even, and I wouldn't even call myself experienced. I'm still in that weird stage between new and experienced. I float somewhere in the middle, but I think there's something everyone can learn from just about anyone. And I think it's super cool to have those conversations and get the perspective of people who are newer in the hobby, especially in today's day and age, because things are just so different than they were, you know, years ago. Because now there's this social media thing, you know, like Phil has his social media, and it's like a numbers game trying to get those followers up and trying to get people to support you and stuff. And I wanted to do that because Phil supports me, so I wanted to give back to him. But if you guys like this segment, definitely drop a comment, send me a DM, let me know what you thought. Also, make sure you like today's episode. Make sure you hit subscribe on YouTube. You could, again, if you want to throw some extra support, you could leave a super chat on today's episode. You can also join the Meteoric Serpents Patreon, which is the first link in the description. And again, if you're listening on YouTube or you're listening on the audio podcasting platforms, you could hop over to, you know, the other one, vice versa, and listen to this there. I like to make sure this is accessible to everyone. And yeah, guys, thank you again, Show Me Reptiles, for sponsoring today's episode and or all the, you know, the podcast itself. And you can catch Phil's Instagram link in the description. Make sure you go follow him, support him for doing this show, for sure. But yeah, guys, I hope you have a fantastic night tonight and a great week. Like, once again, this was episode number 44 of the Colubrid Corruption Podcast with Phil from Wellington Exotics. This was the first episode of the Newly Corrupted segment, and I hope you guys all enjoyed, and I will catch you on the next one. Peace out.